So you may have noticed that the messages kind of build on one another, right? And even the Lord's, his appearing to us and his speaking in us, it kind of builds on one message from another, right? So we're going to be, a lot of what we're going to speak today is just building on what the other brothers have presented, right? So we can all turn to the second morning session, practicing the twos and threes. We're on page 43, the binding and releasing prayer of the twos and threes. How about we all say that together with a strong release spirit? The binding and releasing prayer of the twos and threes. So one thing I'd like to re-emphasize that the brothers have spoken in both messages in this line already is that the twos and threes is the way to continue in what we're seeing here in this training. This is the way. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to figure it out. Just take our word. This is the way. So as soon as you get back home, begin to practice. There's going to be failures, but practice, because this is the way. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into the outline. That's all together on Roman numeral 1. The prayer of the twos or threes is the binding and releasing prayer. Okay, this utterance is very particular. What is the prayer of the twos and threes or threes? It's in the point. Right. So the prayer of the twos or threes is the binding and loosing prayer. Okay, that's not to say that there aren't other prayers that happen within the twos and threes, right? Maybe I'm just getting to know a brother, and he's opening his situation. I open up my situation. We pray for one another. That's so sweet. Actually, you have to have that. Bobby touched on this yesterday. You have to have this in order to be built up with one another, in order for there to even be a two or three, right? You've got to have that kind of prayer. But the prayer that defines the twos or threes, what the prayer that is characterized in the twos and threes is the binding and loosing prayer. Okay, so let's read Roman numeral A together. Twos or threes in Matthew 18:20. Are gathered by the Lord into the Lord's name for his purpose, not into their names for their purpose. Okay, so this matter of the purpose is also very important. You should underline this. Highlight it, circle it, something. There's contrasting purposes here, right? It says they're not gathered into their own purposes. They are gathered into the Lord's purpose. So this implies that if we're going to have the proper prayer in the twos and threes, we have to be clear concerning what this purpose is. Otherwise, how can we pray? There's no way, right? So we need to be clear. What is God's purpose? Well, this whole week, especially the evening line, has been opening this matter. Hasn't it been so rich? Like the first meeting on the God sonizing us. He predestinated you before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish. And he chose you to be his son. This is his purpose, to infuse his life into you, and as you grow, to be conformed to the image of his son. And it's also to build up his dwelling place on the earth, right? Wasn't that verse in Exodus so amazing? And they had done it. Right? This was the goal of everything, that God would have a place, a location, a geographical spot on the map where you could say, that is where God dwells. Amen. That's the place where God is happy and at rest. Amen. And then last night, we saw with the one new man, right? This is his masterpiece. Yeah. You know, I was telling some brothers at breakfast in Germany in the, I think it was the 13 or 1400s, there was this guild called Anyway, I don't remember what they were called. But anyway, in Germany, if you wanted to be a workman in a particular city, you had to be a part of a guild, right? And the membership in this guild was very exclusive. If you wanted to work in this guild, you had to first produce a masterpiece. And this masterpiece, it would display all of your skill. Like, you would go all out with this thing. If you were a carpenter, you would add flourishes and carvings and do intricate joinery for the purpose of proving what you can do. Like, are you qualified to be among us, right? So that is what the one new man is. That contrast we saw of how man fell, right? And the situation seemed so utterly hopeless. But then God, through his full salvation, he brings man not only back to where he was before the fall, but even goes further, right? And makes him the new creation, right? That's God's masterpiece. It's like God displaying, let me show you just what I can do. This is it, right? Okay. So I want to emphasize also, this is the meaning of the whole universe. Okay. God gaining this is what it's all here for. Okay. If God doesn't get this, then literally the whole universe is a failed experiment. It's a failure. Obviously, we know he will get it. But we need to be impressed. This is the meaning of everything. But in order for him to get this, there's a few obstacles that are in the way, right? First of all, God only works by the way of incarnation, right? He's chosen to limit himself to man's will. And so he will not move until man also wills the same thing that he wills. Okay, so man must agree with him. A further complication to this, though, is that man, particularly his will, got contaminated by Satan. Right? And so Satan is running rampant on the earth. He's the ruler of this world, and he's opposing everything that God is trying to do. With everything that he has, he's opposing it. So God has to gain the will of man, and he has to defeat the enemy. Okay? Somehow, God's will has got to be brought to the earth. Okay? Or else, this is not going to happen. God's economy will not happen if he doesn't get this. This is the meaning, the purpose of the prayer ministry of the church. The prayer ministry of the church is that the saints, in one accord, are praying. They have seen something of God's will. They have been infused with the Lord's moment-by-moment, up-to-date feeling concerning a matter, and they're praying it back to him. Lord, we agree. Lord, we're here on the earth, so we are saying, bring it to earth. Amen. We're your beachhead here. We're the place where you can put your foot. Right here, Lord. Bring your will to the earth. We're agreeing. Okay. So we see the prayer ministry of the church worked out practically in a couple of ways. The first way is, it's somewhat obvious to most of us who have been in the church life for a while, is the prayer meeting of the church, right? It's like, we need to be in the prayer meeting of the church, because this is actually our privilege to have a part in this enterprise, right? We have a right to be a part in this amazing, this is like a once in a universe opportunity, right? It's like, I can help bring in God's will to the earth. So we have to be at the prayer meetings of the church. But mainly, what is prayed about in the prayer meeting of the church is kind of what you would call like big burdens, right? The Lord's move in Europe. The Lord's move among refugees. Or maybe even the Lord's move on your campus, right? The freshman orientation as a whole, like you're praying, Lord, do what you want to do here. That's just the nature of the prayer that happens in the prayer meeting, right? That kind of prayer kind of sets a scene. It's like asking the Lord to set up the scene and the context and the environment in which something can happen, right? But God's economy is not with you have to understand what I'm saying, is not with a swath of people. God's economy is not with a context. His economy happens with individual people. He didn't just choose the church before the foundation of the world. He chose Zach before the foundation of the world. And he chose Timothy before individuals. And so his him getting what he wants to get will not happen until every single one of God's sons is brought into the house. Amen. Every single one. So that means that God's economy has to happen in every single person. So going back to what we talked about earlier, it's like, that means he has to gain man's will on the earth concerning that particular person. And he has to be able to overcome Satan's work and operation over that particular person. Right? But who's going to pray for that? The nature of the prayer meeting is that's just not the nature of the prayer in the prayer meeting. We have to keep the saints covered, right? We have to keep situations covered, and even the saints don't all know all the situations. So this is where the twos and threes becomes so crucial. Because it's in the twos and threes that God's economy, in particular people, is executed. If you don't have the prayer in the twos and threes, then essentially, everything that's prayed in the prayer meeting is in vain. Right? Because the scene is set up, but then nothing is happening within that scene. The person who God chose in that scene, who's praying for him? Right? Okay, so Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen. So this is why the prayer of the twos and threes is the binding and loosing prayers. So how do we do this? Let's read point B and the subpoints together. In the prayer in the Matthew 18, there must be at least two persons. The principle of two is the principle of the church, the principle of the body of Christ. The prayer in harmony of two or three persons is so powerful because whenever they are gathered together into the Lord's name, the Lord is there. This is the reason for their harmony. So if you'll notice, in this section of the outline, it's all based on Matthew 18. Right? And that's the only verse in the scripture reading. So we're going to go, let's read the Bible. Let's read the Word of God. Let's turn to Matthew 18, and we're actually going to start in verse 12 to give us some kind of context. We're going to start in verse 12, and we're going to go all the way to verse 20. Matthew 18, verses 12 through 20. And we'll do it this way. We'll have brothers begin on 12, and then we'll just alternate through brothers and sisters, okay? Amen. So does everybody have it? Amen. Matthew 18, 12. All together, brothers. What do you think?
If any man has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and seek the one that has gone astray?
And if it so happens that he finds it, truly I say to you, that he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray.
In the same way, it is not
How about if we all read 20 together? For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. So we're going to go through and just a little kind of verse by verse kind of dissect this a little bit. So in verses 12 through 14, you have the story of the 99 sheep, right? And this, so the shepherd has 99 sheep on the mountain, but one goes astray, and he goes and he finds that one. He's concerned about that one. It's not enough to have a swath of sheep. He wants this one, right? Okay. And then the Lord says in verse 14, this is such a precious verse, in the same way, it is not the will of your Father who is in the heavens that one of these little ones should perish. So right away, we're brought into the very heart of God. It's not my will that a single one of these would pass away, should perish. Okay. And then it's really, I never saw this until I started studying for this message. But right after this mess, right after the Lord says this, he goes in and he talks about the sinning brother. This begins in verse 15. And you know that there's a connection between these two sections because in verse 15 he says, moreover. Moreover means in addition to, in an elaboration of what I just said. Moreover, right? So he begins to say, there's this sinning brother. He sins against another brother. He won't hear that brother when he comes to reprove him. So then two go as a testimony. He doesn't hear them. Even the church, probably represented by the elders of the church, go to him, and he doesn't even hear them. So at this point, the church has no option but to consider him as a Gentile and a tax collector, right? We just can't have fellowship with him because he's not receiving the fellowship of the church, right? So it would seem like the condition of this brother is hopeless. He's not. The church is where we're saved. The church is our salvation. But he's effectively cut himself off from the church. What's going to happen to him? So, what happens next is very sweet. In verses 18 through 20, you have this. Oh, wait a minute. Let me point this out. Who in the Bible can we think of loves Gentiles and tax collectors? The Lord Jesus. He loves to save Gentiles and tax collectors. The Gospels are full of stories of this, right? So we should be clear that when but the Lord's heart is still for these kind of people, right? So the Lord, his intention is to save such ones. It's not his will that a single one should perish. Not a single one. Not even that brother who won't hear the fellowship of the church. So he begins to operate to save this one. But it's very interesting. He doesn't do it the way that you would expect. He doesn't do it the way that he does in the rest of the Gospels, where he as an individual man goes and saves this one, right? How does he do it? There's two or three there. And they're praying. And actually, the Lord is in their midst. And he says, whatever they pray, whatever they ask in my name, I will give them. Okay, it doesn't say specifically in the verses what they're praying for. But considering the context, what is it that they're praying for? They're praying for that brother. Lord, restore him. Lord, bring him back. Lord, outwardly it seems like the situation is hopeless. But you're in our midst, Lord. And you're infusing us right now with your feeling concerning him. And we agree with that feeling. Lord, restore him. Amen. Lord, we still love this brother. Amen. We know because you're telling us right now, you love this brother. Amen. Lord, restore him. Amen. This is the prayer of the twos and threes. Amen. This is the binding and loosing prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you. I'd just like to ask a question, and like Brother Ron says sometimes, this isn't an accusation, but this is like to inspire some aspiration in us. Have you touched this? Have you touched this kind of prayer? You're not, because this is not beyond you. This is not beyond anybody in this room. It's a matter of a practice, and like the brother shared in the previous message, it's a matter of habit, building up a habit. But have you touched this? Because this is actually the meaning of your existence. To join with God, to move forward His economy. I talked to Kyle about this before the meeting to make sure he felt like it was okay. But that group that he talked about yesterday, I was one of the brothers in that group, or I should say I am one of the brothers in that group. And it happened actually a little bit even more randomly than what he remembers. After we had prayed together, we just kind of dispersed among the room, and the brothers handed out a sheet of paper to everybody, and it just had some lines on it. And the brother said, "Just go find somebody and put their name down on that piece of paper, and that's going to be your group." So everybody else had been taken, and the only people that were left were Kyle, me, and these other two brothers. And so we ended up in a group together. And just to confirm with what he was saying, like something got built up among us. When we would go there to pray, we very often would begin to pray for one another. We would open to one another about our certain situations and our circumstances. And through that, we got built up. Occasionally, though, we would also touch this matter of the binding and loosing prayer. Occasionally. It didn't happen a lot. Maybe once or twice in that whole semester, but we would touch it. But we all went our separate ways. Some of us went to the training. Some of us went to more school. And now, two of those brothers aren't actually in the fellowship anymore. One just kind of, he's not opposing. He just drifted away. You know, he got occupied by other things. And then the other brother, he made a conscientious decision to leave. So it would seem in that situation that it's pretty hopeless. Actually, it seems like in myself, it seems like a pretty hopeless situation. But there is two people praying for those brothers.
Amen.
And the Lord Jesus is in our midst.
Amen.
And we believe that He will restore these brothers.
Amen.
That His economy will be continued in them.
Amen.
Maybe it's frustrated for now, but the Lord's heart is for these brothers.
Amen.
So I would just, to kind of my point of this is that you may be at some point in your life be a Gentile or tax collector. Like those brothers, at the time when we were praying, I think we would have thought that we were all four going to be in the church life for the rest of our life. The way of life just didn't turn out that way, right? But praise the Lord, we are building ourselves. Sorry, I didn't intend to share this. When Noah was building the ark, he built his salvation. He built himself into it, right? We are building the church, and the church itself will become our salvation.
Amen.
We have to keep ourselves here. We have to pray that the Lord would keep us here.
Amen.
All the days of our life.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy on me, that I would never leave this place. Okay, so I just want to review just a couple of verses real quick with you to kind of emphasize this point of the Lord being in our midst, imparting his feeling, and then praying. This is a really important point. Like, we're full of all kind of feeling, and we're full of all kinds of thoughts, and we can pray according to those thoughts. But is it the Lord's feeling concerning that brother? I can tell you, I can pray very natural prayers out of my affection for these brothers. But if that's not the Lord's heart, no matter how good of a prayer it is, I don't have any expectation that the Lord can honor that, right? So we need to first consider, what is the Lord's feeling about this matter, about this brother? Maybe it would take time just to consider together for a while, praying together for a while, but eventually something will come forth. Okay, so the verses that point this out. Let's go to Ephesians 6, 18 through 19. Ephesians 6, 18 through 19. If you don't have your Bible, please go ahead and take out your Bible now. Let's all read these verses. Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 19. All together. By means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit, and watching unto this in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known in boldness the mystery of the gospel.
Okay, so who can just briefly tell me, what is the context of this verse? What was just being talked about before verse 18? You have to say it louder. Boldly with your spirit. What was talked about before these verses?
The armor of God.
The armor of God, right. And so, in verse 18, Paul begins to say how to put on the armor of God. How to be able to stand against the stratagems of the enemy. All these things that he's told us to put on, the body should put on. How are we going to put it on? It's through the prayer. But it's very interesting. Who is the prayer concerning? It's concerning the saints. I would have thought, I'm going to pray for me. Lord, I need the helmet of salvation. I need the shield of faith. But actually, this armor is not for individuals. It's for the whole body. Right? And so, for the way for the body to put on the armor of God is for us to pray for the saints. Do you see the distinction here? There's a total shift from individual consideration of my prayer to the corporate consideration. Lord, I know of a situation. This is a hypothetical. Lord, I know of this situation with this brother. Lord, arm him with the helmet of salvation. Guard him against the fiery darts, the evil thoughts of the enemy. That's putting on the armor of God. Okay, so let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4, and then we're going to go back to 1. So let's have the brothers on 1 Timothy 2:4. 1 Timothy 2:4. All together.
Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth?
And then sisters on verse 1. Okay, so coming back to this matter of God's thought and God's feeling, what is his desire in First Timothy 2:4? All men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. So then in response to that, what does Paul say in verse 1? You got to say a lot louder than that. Exercise your spirit. What does Paul say to do in response to God's desire? Okay, let's all read the verse together. I exhort, therefore, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. So what does Paul charge us to do in response to seeing God's desire? Petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. We have God's desire, and then we pray according to that desire. Okay, let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And we'll look at verses 11 through 16. So let's do it in this way. Let's have the sisters read verses 11 through 13. How about we do this? Let's have the sisters to stand. Stand and read 1 John chapter 5, 11 through 13. So from these verses, what is God's desire? What's the Lord's desire? There's two words, actually, that's in all three of these verses. There's life, and then what's the other one?
Son.
Life and son. This is God's will, that you would have life and that you would have the son. Okay, so the brothers stand on verses 14 through 16.
And this is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin not unto death, he shall ask, and he will give life to him. To those
okay, so what's the request being made in verses 14 through 16? Huh? To give life to that brother. In verses 11 through 13, I see what God's desire is. It's that we would have life and have the Son. But then I see the sinning brother, and my response isn't to condemn. It's not to criticize, but because of what I've seen, what's in me, I begin to spontaneously pray, Lord, give him life.
Amen.
Lord, continue your economy in him.
Amen.
Bind your enemy.
Amen.
Loose the life.
Amen.
Right? This is the prayer in the twos and threes that issues out of the Lord being in our midst.
Amen.
Okay, and the last few verses, I'm not going to really comment on them, but I'd like you to have them. You can write the references down, and then I'll just read the verses to you. Isaiah 45, verse 11. Isaiah 45, 11 says, "Thus says Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel and the One who formed him." That's Israel. "Ask me about the things to come concerning my son." That's the Lord being in our midst. "Ask me. And concerning the works of my hands, command me." First ask me, and then after I tell you what I want, then you command me concerning what I just told you. Okay, and the last verse is Ezekiel 36, verse 37. Ezekiel 36, 37. This says, "Thus says the Lord Jehovah, moreover, for this I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do for them. I will increase them with men like a flock." So first, I will be inquired, and then I will increase them. I will answer their I'll answer their prayer. So the context of this message so far has been concerning a fallen brother. But this matter of binding and loosing prayer, it revolves around any person in God's economy. An unbeliever who needs to be saved, a backslidden brother, a brother who's in a really hard situation. The matter of binding and loosing prayer is to bind the enemy and his frustrations and to loose the dispensing of God's life.
Amen.
Okay, and then this is the very last thing, and then I'm going to hand it off to Jeremy. I was really, really encouraged with the first message on this line when Mark talked about the companions, right? Those three examples of companions in the Old Testament. Do you remember what was the characteristic of the companionship that Daniel had with Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael? Do you remember the utterance? Okay, you got to say it a lot louder. It was boldness to exercise your spirit. This is the word of God, right? Be bold to speak the word. What was the characteristic of that companionship? Hand up. Turn around.
Making impossible things possible.
Amen. I think the utterance, it's good. I think the utterance was to pray impossible prayers. Okay. But as I was considering it, I was touched by this. You don't ever, through the book of Daniel, like there's times when Daniel is with his companions and when he is not with his companions, right? It's not because he's out of the fellowship. That was just his measure, his spiritual measure, right? Was that he was a five-talented member, you know? But you never hear of Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael mentioned separate from one another. If any of them are mentioned, all of them are mentioned. So I don't know, but I suspect that this is probably because they just didn't have the same measure as Daniel did, right? And probably if you separated them, they wouldn't be able to do a whole lot. They were probably pretty weak, probably not able to pray very high prayers. But when they were together, they could stand against the king of the whole inhabited earth at that time, to the point of being thrown into a fiery furnace, the risk of their life. So I was encouraged by this, because if any of us have the thought that I'm just not that spiritual, this isn't for me. This isn't something that I can enter into. That is a lie from the devil.
Amen.
That's him deceiving you. Maybe on your own you can't. But God's intention wasn't ever that you would be able to do it on your own. He wants you to find a Hananiah, an Azariah, and a Mishael.
Amen.
And he wants you to get together with them. And then that will be your part in his move on the earth.
Amen.
Right? So praise the Lord.
Amen. I wish our brother Bobby could speak longer. So there's an anointing with our brother. I really enjoy sharing. My point is very practical here, the portion of the outlines, but I'd like to just reemphasize a little bit. Let's just, you know, before we get into all this practical detail, let's just think about this. Why do we pray? Why do we pray, brothers and sisters? And for me, I can read the Bible. I can praise the Lord. But prayer is just one of the hardest lessons that I could learn. And I grew up in the church life, and then my mom always tells me, it's like, I found out something, you know, from the Bible. It's so enjoyable. Maybe you can apply to the church life. Mom, this and this and that. And my mom will say, Jeremy, you should pray. Right? Or like I criticize certain situation, and my mom would say, Jeremy, you need to pray more. So it's ringing in my ear all the time. Jeremy, you should pray. Okay? The prayer is a very hard thing to do, right? You have to stop yourself and pray, right? Now, why do we pray? there are a lot of reasons to pray, okay? The one thing here related to this lesson, we pray because we know how God operates. We know the principle of God's working and move, okay? Let's not question about His ability and capability. The Lord is Almighty God, right? As a human being, okay? Guess maybe you go to MIT, you got an engineering degree, and then you are in maybe Lockheed Martin or something, and then you're working on something, right? The only thing you can do, probably you'll do, you modify something, some product already developed, and you modify it, and you learn how to maintain it. Probably that's all you can do. You modify, adjust it. But some people in the industry for a while, and they have an innovative thought, and they could invent something, right? Wow, innovative stuff. Apple's good at this. But still, they worked something, some idea before, or some materials before already laid out. They just come up with something. But nobody can actually, in a sense, nobody can create something except Creator God. There's only one creator in the universe, that is God. He creates something out of nothing. Okay, if we know this, saints, why? Once we are able to let God move and operate, and everything could be done, right? So this is God's principle, okay? He simply limited himself that he reveal himself to a man. Now let me maybe do this. God would reveal his desire to man. So this is the first process. God reveal his desire to man. And then he want man to echo. You need to catch this word. Echo. It's not your desire, not your preference, but echo his desire back to God. Amen. First step is God reveal his desire to man. Not to the angel, not nothing else, but to a man. But if you find a man to echo his desire back to God, and the work is done. Because he's almighty. He's able. He's capable, right? So we know this principle. That's why we pray, brothers and sisters. That's why we pray. I mean, let's consider Genesis. God had a desire to destroy Sodom and rescue Lot, right? He wouldn't do this by himself. So what does he do? He go to Abraham. Visit Abraham, right? And then he have conversation with them. And then Abraham hear it. And then in very human way, he catch God's desire and intercede, right? How about this many people? How about just one person? If there's a righteous person, that is actually Abraham's echoing God's desire back to God, right? And then work is done. Done, right? The same with Daniel. Daniel, okay? Daniel was reading the book of Jeremiah. He found out God's desire to bring children back. Or they were in the captivity of Babylon. I mean, this is a devastating situation. The testimony is totally ruined, right? And then temple is gone, and then children of Israel are in Babylon. But he found out God's desire. He's going to bring these children back in 7 years, right? So what does Daniel do? He pray. He's not trying to raise up some special forces or try to work out his plan. He simply pray. His prayer bring children back. Amen. Saints, can we pray? Amen. Do you have motivation to pray? Okay. But here, this lesson is binding and loosing prayer. You know, it's in the Matthew concerns the kingdom, And then it's huge, huge matter. But this kingdom, the matter of kingdom is there's a satanic kingdom, and then there's God's kingdom. And there's no win-win situation, okay? If God's kingdom prevails, then Satan's kingdom suffer loss, and then vice versa. So whenever we are standing up for God's interest today, okay, Lord, I'm here for your kingdom. I want to carry out your desire on the earth today. You know, Satan will not be there, oh, Robert, I encourage you to do that. No, he will fight against it. He'll do his best to frustrate you, right? Just one example. So we're about to come here on Saturday. Saturday, 6 o'clock, we've made an arrangement. 13 saints try to get together. 6 a.m. we're going to get together. And we're going to, and then a day before, we made an arrangement. We pick up this rental car. And for that, we made an arrangement for like a month before to get this car. And Tuesday, we get there, make sure we have a car. Okay, so Friday, we don't have a car. 11 a.m. I said, we don't have a car. We're working on it. 1 p.m., no car. 3 p.m., no car. Until the store closed, no car. What do we do? So we basically we realize that this is the enemy's attack. Enemy doesn't like us to be here, right? So we, some of us sisters together, and then we call out some of the sister, we pray. Bind and loosing prayer, right?
Amen.
Lord, get our students there.
Amen.
Oh, we like to be in the college training.
Amen.
Oh, things worked out. We're all here.
Amen.
But that moment, you know, Satan just attacking. And, you know, this type of situation goes on and on and on. But when we, okay, so let me say this. One tip for gospel. You got to believe that every man was created for God. That's what the Bible tells us, right? Okay? Man has God's image, right?
Amen.
And his likeness. So, and they have spirit. So they have an organ to contact God. The problem is not with man. Somebody in the air. Usurping man. Blinding man. Occupying them. And control them. So, as we minister this life to other people, preaching the gospel, edifying them, and sharing riches with them, at the same time, on the other side, we need to have a prayer to bind the enemy.
Amen.
Bind all the strategies.
Amen.
So even though we do this, there's all kinds of frustration. Some people got saved. They want to come to the meeting. Things happen. They got distracted. We got to have prayer. Prayer. To bind that, bind the enemy. Otherwise, we might work a lot, but we don't have anything. But let's let the Lord to work in all these people, right? And also here is a sinning brother. He's a brother, okay? In Matthew 18. You know, you got to believe. Every born again believer, genuine believer, have a heart for the Lord. They love God. And they want to forsake the Lord to follow the Lord, right? But somehow, enemy has taken advantage. So there's a great need, brothers and sisters. He's asking us to do this, okay? And Christians really, really want to talk about these things all the time. You know, in 2 and 3, you gather into my name, I'm in your midst. It's not about your enjoyment purpose. It is the context of gaining brother. Brothers and sisters, let's exercise in this way. Let's go through this outline. It's very straightforward, so I want to briefly touch this. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together.
We need to budget our time, setting aside 2 or 3 times a week for the prayer with our 2 or 3 companions.
Okay, so we know that this is very precious, and then this is critical in God's eyes. We want to carry this out, then we'd like to budget our time. Okay? Everybody has 24 hours. And it seems like everybody is like, I don't have time. I don't have time. No, you do. Once you have kids, you'll find out you have a lot of time. I was contacting one, actually, CEO of one company and try to work out some interview. And this guy sent out the email, I realized at always same time, 4:30 a.m. to 5 a.m. I'm sure this guy is really busy, but he buzzed his time to write email. Okay, saints, are we serious about this business? Are you going to bind and loose? We want to carry this prayer together in twos and threes? Let's set up some time. Let's buzz it our time, okay? And saints, you know, been in the church life for a while, we become so general. Okay, what did you enjoy from the training? I enjoy everything. Who are you built up with, anyone? I built up with everybody. Your everybody, your everything, maybe it's nothing or nobody. Okay, let's set up some time. Let's set aside some time to work this out. Okay, and just personal. I mean, I'm practicing this still, and last year I moved into a new situation. I don't know how to go on. There's no team, and my wife and I got into a new situation. I don't know what to do. So I had some prayer that I will just seek out one brother. It's not even serving full time, but I just feel like I need to pray with this brother. So 6 a.m. Wednesday morning. Before our kids wake up, and then he has three kids, so we pray together every Wednesday. Pray for ourselves, also pray for all the issues, and then, you know, through that, I feel so much supply, and all the situations, it looks like a mountain. It's like impossible things, one after another, right? But the Lord is able to go through.
Amen.
Through this type of prayer. Okay, let's set aside our time. Okay, how about we just A? Okay, read A. Maybe sisters, go.
We need to review all of our acquaintances and make a list of them, including our relatives, neighbors, friends, schoolmates, and colleagues.
Okay, maybe some people will say, you know, I don't have people to pray for. I don't have a heart for man. I don't know who to pray for. Okay, sit down, let's make a list. Do you have relatives? Do you have acquaintances? Do you have schoolmate? Do you have dorm mate? Long list. Now you have to cut down a little bit. You have quite a bit, okay? Start with making a list, okay? Okay, okay, brothers, and one.
Then we need to pray over the name list and seek the Lord's leading concerning who should be the first for us to take care of.
Okay, once you have a list, then you start praying over that person. Lord might give you feeling. Lord might give you burden. And the more you pray, this feeling grows, right? And you can do it together in twos and threes, okay? And next one, sisters, two.
We should also keep ourselves open to the Lord for His new leading to visit new people other than our acquaintances.
So we should be always open, not just with the acquaintances. Lord always opens a new door. It always works in this way, okay? You think, oh, yeah, only one door. I feel comfortable with them. I'm going to labor for 4 years. At the end of the 4 years, you have nobody. But all other door was open before. my dad have a small business. It's all about the regulars. It's a good way to say it. It's good to have some regular visit, regular customers. But at the same time, if you're a good businessman, you care for the new business, new clients too. So we have to always open for your eyes for new people. And you know, even my wife and I realize that we have kids. We go to some playground. We go to pool. We always meet with somebody with the kids. You know what? We always open for them. We start praying for them. And even we were in the pool, and then we just realized that these lifeguards are from Eastern Europe. Like the last year, we have three girls from Poland, and this year we had two boys from Slovakia. And then we're praying for them, and then we try to have conversation, and they're coming over our house. So brothers, always look for new people. And every semester in your new class, you have new people. And then you don't need to go out and meet people. They are coming at you, sitting next to you. Okay, open your eyes, okay? All right. B, brothers.
We must be watchful to fight for a time to break, and to be on guard against Satan's strategy to cut off our prayers.
Okay, so the Satan will frustrate our prayer. And, you know, think about it. Ephesians 6:18, we read that. By means of all prayer, right? And petition, praying every time in spirit, and there's a little phrase are added, watching unto this in all perseverance. Okay, so you have all kinds of prayer, praying every time, petition and everything, but watching unto this. That means Apostle Paul knows you're going to be frustrated because Satan attacked your prayer. Every time you want to pray, Satan, oh, I feel like I have a headache. Don't you think you have that? You try to go to prayer meeting. It's all of a sudden, I have a long day. You know, I feel like I'm sick. You know, it's always happened. Always happened. Satan attacked your prayer. Watching unto this in all perseverance, right? It requires your steadfastness. It requires your endurance. Watching unto this. Okay. And then there's here, maybe, okay, sisters, one, read. Among God's children,
the prayer is the one thing that is most easily attacked.
Okay, so I think it's really good verse to read it together to see the Satan's strategy. Let's read Daniel 6:7 all together. I think it is a good picture here. Daniel 6:7, it is in the Old Testament. The context is Daniel's prayer. He'd been praying for a while, and then people try to frustrate his prayer. Okay, okay, let's read it all together. You ready? Go. What kind of law is that? I mean, this is like high officials and people like try to make certain kind of law that people will not pray. They know that Daniel is praying for God's interest in his kingdom. They try to pass a law that nobody will pray. Okay, there is a footnote here. It's very, very precious. Okay, how about read it all together, that footnote on petition 7:1. If you have, okay, go.
The center of this chapter is man's prayer for the carrying out of God's economy. Through his faithful channels of prayer, God carries out his economy with his elect for Christ's coming. God desires to carry out his economy, but man is needed to pray for his economy on earth.
Is Satan's strategy?
Is to frustrate the prayer that is for God's move. The intention of the chief minister and his satraps was to destroy him, but the intention of Satan, who was behind them, was to cut off the channel of prayer that God was using for the carrying out of his economy.
So Satan knows when he cut off this channel of prayer, he wins, his kingdom prevails. Brothers and sisters, let's watch on to this, okay? Let's pray. Continue to pray in this way. Let's read 2 all together. If you place a high value on your prayer life, you will watch unto it and arrange time for it, no matter how busy you may be.
You will still have time to pray.
Okay. Okay, I'll stop here. Robert, can you give us a
question?